When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 127. Going to recap your week 13 in Fab. As Toby was mentioning before the show, the halfway point. We are halfway home, which is great to see. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric and the aforementioned Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
We're doing well, Bubba.
You just lost your volume.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good now. You're good now. You're good.
Sorry about that.
Well, yeah, no problem.
I missed you, is what I was saying.
I missed you too. You're in and out. Try to play with your cord again, real quick. Man, I want to hear how good these thoughts are about me.
I one quick thing here. All right.
Now your camera's off and you're gone. Well, we will wait a minute as Toby's having technical difficulties. I wish I was talented on electronics. I'd have like a little do-do-do-do-do-do-do, something like that going on in the background for you. But here we are. You get to stare at my lovely mug if you're watching on the Fantasy Degens YouTube channel. Check that fun stuff out. Or if you're watching us live on Twitter, people got to be eating this up right now. Got to be loving this as Toby tries to figure out his technical issues over there between his cord and his camera, which now is completely gone from StreamYard. So we'll have to give him a second to hop back into the podcast, but it's gonna be a fun one. It's been a few weeks off. Toby's been on vacation. We had my daughter was sick one Tuesday night, so it's just been a slew of things to keep us away from each other, but you can't keep us away forever. So we're back to get your week 13 talking Jaren Duran's, Isak Paredes, Mitch White, many other big ads halfway through the season here. We were joking earlier that football season is coming around, so people are going to start forgetting about baseball, which for us that are really going hard at the NFBC leagues and any other fantasy sports, fantasy baseball leagues across all platforms, this could benefit you in a big way. And we're going to be here all season for you in one way or another to help you get your league titles, hopefully, and win some money or trophies or belts or whatever you do for your league. So hopefully there'll be some fun stuff there for you as well. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun as we just wait for Toby to check back in as he's having some technical difficulties there in wonderful Northern California. But, I don't blame him. His equipment's probably rusty. He's been on a vacation mode, living the time of his life, which he should be doing in the summertime. So we will wait and see what he has up his sleeve here as he looks to check back in and have some fun on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday evening of craziness around the diamond. Cookie Carrasco got beat around. Here we go. Toby is back, everybody. Welcome back, Toby.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're not using, you have a different microphone set up. It's using your computer mic.
Oh, it's using my computer mic. God. Yep. Bubba, why is this so challenging here?
No worries.
I'm going to bust out the Yeti here.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Now my voice is all soothing. All right.
There's your Yeti.
That was just an elaborate way for me to say for a third time that I missed you, Bubba. I'm very sorry to all the listeners for the technical difficulties. I promise. I can't promise, but that's them. Things have been good. I was on vacation for 1 week. I got COVID last week. So recovered from that mostly, except you can tell I'm a little bit nasally, but other than that, I've been good. I'm excited to jump back on, and it was a nice little week of fab. So I'm excited to dig deeper.
Yeah, I was telling the listeners while you were gone that we have some fun names to talk about. So we will get right into those names. And as usual, for those that want to keep track at home, we go over the OCs, the online championships, 12-team leagues, which are a little more what most people play. A lot of 15s. Toby's mainly a 15 guy, mainly a 12 guy. But this will help kind of get the gist of things. And again, 12-team fab is wild. And your top added player was Jaren Duran in 129 leagues, as high as 251, as low as a dollar. And for those that keep track, he is not playing in Toronto because he's not vaccinated. But prior to that, has just been raking since he got called up. He's hitting 327. No home runs, but 7 extra bases, 4 stolen bases. And he's leading off every day for the Boston Red Sox. And Enrique Hernandez had a setback, so that's going to keep him away for a little while, which should keep Duran in the lineup for the Red Sox. I already had him in a few places prior to this. I wasn't aggressive on him this week. What were your thoughts on Jaren Duran, who I like? I'm still concerned that whenever Enrique comes back, we're in trouble. But as long as Duran keeps producing, it's like you can't keep sending the kid back. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, he wasn't available in any of my 15s, so I didn't do any deep dives on him, really. He was available in an OC that I have, but I have John Birdie, so I don't really need steals at all.
Who needs steals
when you got John Birdie, right?
Oh, the Birdie.
And I think because of the questions that you mentioned, number one, like heading into this week, he would have been a bench guy, at least initially, because he's got the Blue Jays and he's unvaccinated, so he's not going to be playing. And then, you know, I know that Kike Hernandez had the setback. It's unclear when he's going to return, but when he does return, the question is, are they going to continue to give Duran playing time? So again, it's one of those challenging situations where you can kind of either believe or you don't. And, you know, you've got to, you know, you're going to have to pay up for that belief. And I'm just not willing to do that if there's too many question marks that are kind of hanging around him. But as you mentioned, like, he's been hitting well, obviously an elevated BABIP, but you know, the strikeout rate is down, the contact rate is up, the O swing's better. So theoretically, you know, it's a very small sample of 57 plate appearances, but he's seeing the ball better already. He's making more contact. He's got 3 barrels, you know, 7.3% barrel rate. So there's a lot of metrics that are saying that maybe this time could be different. You know, the question is going to be, I think, playing time a little bit. And then again, you know, whether he can sustain it as pitchers start to adjust.
Yeah, that'll be the big question. I don't blame anybody for wanting to add him to your team. But like we were both saying, with the shortened week for him, that was making me not want to spend a lot of money and other question marks in play. But still a really good player. If you need steals, I get it. Like, a really good spot. Plus, that offense is clicking, so he's going to score a ton of runs in that offense. So definite upside to him there. And Alex Verdugo might be hitting for batting average, but he's not doing much else. Like, Duran can outperform Alex Verdugo right now. So there's not to mention Jackie Bradley Jr. can't hit the broadside of a barn. So there might be ways for Duran to stick around if he keeps playing well. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. All right, the big name of the week, Isak Paredes, picked up in 117 leagues, as high as 207, as low as, of course, a dollar. He hit safely in all 6 games last week with 3 games with 3 hits. He hit 5 home runs last week, won a 3 home run game. Most impressively to me this season, you know, we knew the power was there for him. Never had consistent playing time. He's getting it right now with Brandon Lau out. He could be coming back soon. Bright side is he's playing first base, third base, and second base. So they're playing all over the diamond to keep him in the lineup. But the most impressive thing for me, Toby, with Paredes is he's not striking out a lot. Like, this past week, it was below 10%. On the season, it's like 15%. For him, I think that's a big, big plus, because obviously with the power he brings to the table, more balls in play, common sense stuff here. But that was something that always concerned me with him in the minors and his time with Detroit. he's adjusted there. Can it be sustainable? We'll see. Batting average is not his forte, so keep that in mind, but power is. What are your thoughts on Isak Paredes?
Yeah, you know, he's been able to maintain a low K rate, you know, throughout the minors. Even Steamer has him projected for a 16.3% K rate. So not a lot of change that we're going to see right there. I think the reason he was on the map, I think for a lot of players was last week. I mean, he went off. I can't remember how many home runs he had.
He had five
home runs last week in like four in two games or something like that. Who did he hit three home runs off of? Nestor Cortez?
Yes.
Is that right?
He ruined
that start for me. So, I mean, I think the thing for Paredes is he's got the 10 home runs, which is huge, but on seven barrels. And don't get me wrong, seven barrels in 108 plate appearances is very good, you know, so whether he's going to be able to maintain that or not, I'm not sure. But right now he's getting pretty lucky with just the home run per flyer ball rate at 24.4%. He's not a guy that's necessarily known as being like a major power guy. I mean, the most home runs he had in a minor league season, I think, was 12 in 2021 or 15 in 2018. So he's never really like been wowed you with the power, but you know, so far he's showing it in the majors, and he's got a higher max exit velocity than he's ever had before. But I think one of the major questions too is going to be playing time. I haven't been paying attention to what he's done this week so far, but you have Wander coming back, you know, and so there's going to be a little bit more competition for playing time. But as long as he hits, I think it's great. But I think we've probably seen his easily best week of the season already.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. Next up is Josh Lowe. He is back with Tampa Bay, picked up in 111 leagues, as high as 189. Same guy, different story. At least he's hit safely in four straight games coming into Tuesday. That's a plus. But the strikeout rate is still through the roof. The strikeout rate was still very high in the minors. In the minors, once again, though, he hit with power, showed some speed. Like, he's done that every time he's been in the minors this year, but in the bigs, it has not translated. He's at least kind of hitting for average this time around, but still striking out way too much for my liking. I think I actually have him in one league because he was like a tertiary bid and he fell to me, but as a 12-teamer, I just wasn't super aggressive on him. I get the upside, but what was your thoughts on Josh Lowe?
Yeah, he's a tough one for the reasons you mentioned. I mean, the K rate is sky high. I will say the contact rate isn't awful. It's in the high 60s, 68.3%. He's got a really nice O swing, so he's patient. He's going to get on base, potentially score some runs, steal some bases. He's got that power speed combo. When you look at, you know, what the Bat X has him projected for, you know, six home runs, six steals, and 243 plate appearances. So, you know, maybe like 10 and 10 for the rest of the season is a possibility, but then you see the 219 batting average that goes along with that, and it's a little bit of a drag. But again, like, batting average is so horrendous across the league that it's almost like hard to find guys now outside of like Andrew Velasquez or Joey Gallo that really torpedo your batting average that much. So I took a shot at him, I think, in 15. I think I might have gotten him in TGFBI or Barf or an OC. I think I bid like $78 for him or something like that. But not in like a league where my fab is scarce. So I'm, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll be encouraging, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. You know, Margot's going to be out for a while. That's been established. Kiermaier's pretty banged up as well. So the playing time will be there for now. We'll just have to see how he keeps things trucking. That's for sure. Eddie O is back, and this time not just because he's going back and forth for call-ups. He came back off the IL, picked up in 111 leagues, as high as 147, as low as two. So no dollar bids for Eddie O this week. Two home runs in his first game back. He's striking out 43% of the time in his four games back. And the biggest concern, which was not really happening before he got hurt, is he is platooning right now. He is platooning, and that was a shock to many because before he went on the IL, he was playing every day, and he was leading off the last few days before he got hurt. So, you know, the assumption was he'd come back and Kyle Isbell would not be in the way. But for now, Kyle Isbell and Eddie Olivares are platooning for the Royals. That is not cool. But what's your thoughts on Olivares this week?
Yeah, Isbell hit a home run today, too. Yeah, I mean, I really like Oliveras. I've been a fan of his, like a lot of people, for a long time. I think if he can get that playing time is the key. But like you mentioned, it looks like he's part of a platoon, not going to get that consistent playing time. I think eventually that'll open up. You know, Andrew Benintendi, there's a lot of rumors that he's going to get dealt. So that'll open us up a spot in the outfield. With them shipping Santana, obviously there's Vinny P, who's coming up. But, you know, so we'll kind of see how they divvy up the playing time. But I think Oliveras probably has the highest ceiling of a lot of the guys that we're talking about, just because he can post a decent batting average with that power speed combo. But he's actually like, he's pretty similar to Lowe in terms of the home runs and speed. When you look at his projections and 80 plate appearances, 2-2. So you multiply that by 3 and you get 6-6, just like you had for Josh Lowe, over 240 plate appearances. So again, a really nice guy, especially in a 15 teamer. I think, you know, the thing about shallower leagues is oftentimes, you know, the strategy that I've been employing this year and I often do is a lot of times just picking up, you know, the best matchup guy, you know, for this week is going to be more beneficial than kind of sticking with a guy like Eddie O all the time. So like an example this week would be like a Nick Gordon, even in a 12 teamer, you know, he's like a $10 player for this week because he's got 5 games in the first 4 days. He's got 8 in the full week. A guy like that is probably going to out-earn Eddie Oliveras on a somewhat regular basis when you're playing him and then you swap him out for, like, you know, last week it was Cooper, you know, what's his name? Cooper.
Garrett Cooper.
Garrett Cooper. Thank you. You know, or Oscar Gonzalez or somebody like that, right? You just kind of switch and swap. So that's the only thing for me, like with a guy like Eddie Oliveras in a shallower league, is I'm not sure he's worth the exorbitant price that people are paying for the full season, you know, price for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I was one of the guys, I didn't break the bank for him by any means. We'll talk about that later. But I was looking to get him in my 12 teamers because I thought he'd play every day. So now that he's not playing every day, we have decisions to make this Sunday. And that's where it gets fun in a 12 teamer. Or 15, like you said, you just take it because it's still going to be valuable. But in that 12, it's all about those at bats. Like you're talking about, Nick Gordon even went deep on Tuesday. He's been sneaky, sneaky good. So I'm with you on that. That'll be something to reevaluate this weekend. And hey, maybe platoon stops halfway through the week because they've, I don't know, but Isbell went deep, like you said, so I don't see it stopping. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. And it was a big bummer to see because didn't expect that one to happen. Lou Trevino is back as the closer for the Oakland Athletics. Started the season there. Things got rough. Danny Jimenez looked great. Danny Jimenez is back on the IL now. I think he's out for the season. So now we go back to Lou Trevino, who's picked up saves in back-to-back outings. He hasn't allowed a run in 4 straight outings, striking guys out, looking much, much better. He was added in on 90 leagues as high as $125. We know how people like to pay for saves, Toby. Were you in on Lou Trevino this week?
I actually was in on Lou Trevino, not at like a really high price, but I got him in a couple places. I got him in one main event, I think for $33. And then I got him in a main event or a super for like $24 or something like that, I think. And so the thing about him, I feel like he's kind of a victim of two different things. Number one, the fact that he's Lou Trevino and he's been god awful at points in time during the season. And he was, you know, at points in time in last season. So I think the shine has faded a little bit there. And I think he's also a guy where with Oakland, you know, you're like, the Oakland's not going to get a lot of save opportunities and they're probably going to want to trade Trevino. And I kind of bought into that like a little bit. I actually picked up Trevino 4 weeks ago, I think. I remember it. I was in Alaska and I remember because it was actually, it might've been on my birthday along with the Garrett Cole worst outing of his career that Lou Trevino gave up 4 earned runs in a third of an inning, if even a third of an inning against Cleveland, against the Guardians. And so I dropped him immediately. But the thing about Trevino, he's gotten the last 2 saves. When you look at the skills have been very good for the last little bit. The Z contact's at 84.2% over his last 15 games. K rate's at 32.8%. Walk rate is down at 7.8%. So you're looking at about a 25% K minus walk rate. Swinging strike at 14%. O swing at 33%, which is really critical for him because he tends to struggle with the walks a little bit and in being able to get guys to chase. This is actually one of the highest O swing percentages he's had recently. And I want to say it corresponds with a change in his arsenal. He started throwing, was it a slider? Yeah, he started throwing a slider in May, I think, after he came off of the IL. And now he's throwing it 20% of the time. It's a new pitch for him, and he's been throwing it really effectively. What does he have on it? His slider has a 26.4% swinging strike rate. It's got a 44.1% O-swing, 75% Z-contact. So again, relatively cheap for a save spec. You mentioned Jimenez. I think the injury didn't end up being as bad as they thought, but he's going to be out. But the thing about Jimenez is it's not like he was pitching great beforehand. And the thing about trading Trevino, it's certainly possible that he could get traded. But I looked at his contract, and he's actually he's arbitration eligible next year, but he's not a free agent until 2025. And it's not like he's pitched lights out. His arbitration number isn't going to be out of control. So I think there's a possibility, you know, and with these save speculations, you're just hoping that you get a little bit lucky. He goes on a run here where he gets 4, 5, 6 saves without blowing one. And then all of a sudden Danny Jimenez comes back, but he's not necessarily in the equation, or Danny Jimenez has to pitch himself back into the role. And so that's what I'm hoping for. You know, it's a little bit high at this point, with what fab prices are, but I expect that fab prices will continue to go down, and I'm hoping that the speculation works. So I like Trevino a lot this week and a few weeks ago. It burned me then. I'm hoping it doesn't now.
Yeah, I'm pretty bummed because I actually drafted Trevino in a lot of places to start the season for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, and I've dropped him obviously accordingly since then, and I was not able to get him back this week, but is what it is. That's the way the game works, but I think he can run off a few here. The biggest problem is, can the A's win baseball games? That's the question to put out there. But he picked up a couple saves, like we said last week. They'll run into some from time to time, and then you see where he goes from there. So, yeah, it's definitely worth a spec. And I was hoping AJ Puck would get the role, but he's been pretty bad. So that's one to also monitor there. We'll have to see. It's not a topic for now, but Kenley Jansen to the IL. We'll have to see what the Braves do in Atlanta, because
AJ Minter closed it out today.
Oh, he did. I was about to say, because Minter has been outstanding this year.
Yeah, he has.
But there's always that, like, you know, coach going back to the veteran and Will Smith garbage. But I'm glad Minter got it. That's good to see. That's really good to see. So it'll be interesting to see how much he goes for on Fab as well, because they are saying they don't expect Jansen out for long. He's dealt with this before. So keep an eye on that one, everybody, as the week goes on. Next up, Keegan Thompson of the Chicago Cubs added in 73 leagues, as high as $55. He had a two-step this week, pitched against Cincinnati tonight, has Boston on Sunday. That is not an easy one. But tonight, 6 1/3, gave up 4 runs, but struck out 8. That is 3 straight starts of 7 or more strikeouts. So you got him for the strikeouts for one. The matchup didn't get you what you needed in the ERA whip departments, but the strikeouts are a big, big plus for Keegan. And now he gets Boston on Sunday, which, yeah, it's going to be a dicey one. But were you in on Keegan's two-step this week?
Not really. I had him in one conditional pretty far down. I wanted to be more in on him because I do think the two-step with Cincinnati today, and it didn't go how you planned, but that's not a matchup that you necessarily shy away from. With Cincinnati at home and then having Boston, I think that one's at home as well.
Yep.
I was somewhat interested, but then I dug in and I just have a really difficult time. As people who listen to the show know, I want to see something that I really like about the player and what they're doing. But when I look at, so if you look at the 9 games since he's been a starter, one of those games is a relief appearance, but 8 of those are starts. You know, his Z contact is around 90%, which is awful. His O-swing is around 35%, which is really nice. But then K rate at 21.3%, you know, walk rate at 8.1%. So he's got a 13% K minus walk rate, and then swinging strike rate's right around 9%. So there's nothing really there that really gets me super excited. What got me excited is when you said that this is the second consecutive outing that he's had with that number of strikeouts. That's a pretty impressive thing. So maybe if I look... But the thing is, I looked at the last 5 and stuff like that, and it was actually worse. A lot of the skills were worse. Yeah, his Z contact over those last 5 games is 92%. No walk rate at 10.6, K rate at 21.3. So I just didn't see a lot to love. And then he's also on the Cubs, and the Cubs haven't been playing good baseball, haven't been playing well. So I didn't really see a huge opportunity for wins, especially with Boston being one of them. So I just thought there was more of a... The floor was too low and the ceiling was a little too low as well for me to take a shot at him.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was. When I saw the second start was Boston, it kind of put him way off the list for me. It was just I am not going to deal with that. We've talked about it time and time again. Is streaming two star pitchers is not always the answer. Like, people want the innings and want this and that, but you know, maybe he deals, maybe he goes Chad Cool and throws a complete game shutout out of nowhere. Doubt it. Anything's possible. And then you feel like a dummy for not doing it. But I think the odds are in our favor, not his favor on this one. And I'll take that more often than not. So that was kind of why I wasn't really in on Keegan Thompson as well. Next up, Tyler Wells added in 69 leagues as high as $88. And he had a two-step as well. This week had Seattle on Monday night on the road and gets Minnesota on the road on Sunday. He went five innings, one run, got out the win on Monday, three strikeouts, his four straight outings with a W for Tyler Wells. He's gone at least five innings in all four starts, three earned runs or less in all four starts. Just doesn't strike out many guys. And that's just one of my things I've said so many times on the show is I need that dominating strikeout stuff. Because if you're pitching to contact a lot, eventually to me, it's going to catch up. It hasn't for Tyler Wells. He's been very, very good, like very good. But it kind of kept me kind of wishing. Like, he was on secondary bids for me, but I wasn't all super aggressive on him. What about you?
Yeah, not really aggressive. He's not the type of guy, especially in like a shallower league, like a 12-teamer. Exactly. I'm not really interested in having Tyler Wells in my lineup that much. I mean, I guess he's kind of similar to Marco Gonzalez in some senses. That might be like a good comp for him in the sense that he doesn't strike out a lot of guys, walks very few, very high O swing, although Marco Gonzalez hasn't been doing that this year so far. So interesting. And then the Orioles are playing some good baseball. So you never know. But I wasn't really interested. You know, the BABIP's really low at 226. The strand rate's really high. Seems like there's some regression coming his way. Whether or not that will come, I'm not sure. But just not really something I'm interested in shallower leagues and then in deeper leagues. Again, like just not a lot of – it doesn't feel like there's a lot of reward for the risk. Although, again, like if you get the win yesterday and a shutout, you know, not a full shutout, but – like doesn't give up any runs, then it's obviously going to be worth it. But you don't know that heading into the week. And so I kind of shied away a little bit from anything on Tyler Wells. I don't think he was available in my 15 teamers though.
Yeah, I doubt he wasn't on 15s. Like he does just enough to be rostered in 15s. That's for sure. Cause pitching's really bad in 15 leagues. So that makes a lot of sense. Tyrone Taylor, we're back to Tyrone Taylor season like we were a few weeks back because Lorenzo Cain got DFA'd and Hunter Renfro is on the IL again, which means everyday at-bats for Mr. Tyrone Taylor, picked up in 67 leagues, as high as $51. Came into Tuesday night riding a five-game hitting streak where he hit two home runs over those five games. Went 0 for 4 on Tuesday. That's fine. But we know the power that he brings to the table. He was like a run producer in the middle of that order. Batting average is in his strongest suit, but he's going to help produce a lot in a lineup that from time to time puts up a lot of runs. So he was very intriguing to me this week. Again, I don't break the bank for guys like this, but he was definitely intriguing. Him and Kutch. McCutcheon was available in a lot of 12s, and he is raking right now. But Taylor was the popular name over McCutcheon for most.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor, I think he's pretty similar to some of the guys that we talked about before, like Edward Olivares or somebody like that, where it's just like, you know, in a 12-teamer or a shallower league, like there's not a huge differential. And so looking at like this week, I remember distinctly he's -$0.3. You know, for the first half of this week. And that's because he's got Shane Baz today. He's got, I think, Corey Kluber tomorrow. And then I think he's got the Pirates for a game. So all that -0.3, all the positive in that is probably in that Pirates game right there. So a little bit of tough matchups in a shallower league, not really like interested in for this week in him necessarily. But I think in deeper leagues, like if he's available in a 15 teamer, which is highly unlikely because he's probably on my team. You know, I like what I've seen. Like the batting average has been low. The home runs have been decent. You know, he's got 9 home runs and 218 plate appearances. He's got the 13 barrels, 8.3% barrel rate, you know, which isn't great, but it's very solid. You know, he's just kind of like there and he's going to accumulate some stats, you know, being in that lineup with all the injuries, maybe batting a little bit higher in that lineup. He's going to steal you a handful of bases. You know, he's going to hit you 20 plus home runs probably, you know, over the course of the full season. So I like him a lot in deeper leagues and shallower leagues. He doesn't really do enough for me to differentiate him from, you know, the best guy that week that I can stream.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed. And that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit on that one. Next up, though, I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say on this one, because I had some interesting conversations on Twitter on Sunday night, because I was bewildered at the lack of interest from many on Mitch White, who is entering the Dodgers rotation, taking the Andrew Heaney spot. He was added in 61 leagues, as high as $58, so not a big spend. Through four innings, gave it three runs, struck out three against Atlanta, not the easiest of matchups. We've seen some strikeout upside for Mitch White. He showed some punch when he played with them last year. Big thing that I like, he gets San Diego this week, and the next week's two-step at home against Colorado and at home against the Cubs looks very juicy to me. So what are your thoughts on Mitch White? Because I added him everywhere I could, but I might have been overly optimistic. We'll see.
Yeah, he was in my bids for 15 teamers. I think he was like $15 or something like that that I put in for him. $14, because I never put like a five or a zero at the end of my bids. I essentially went after him because he's a Dodger pitcher and because of the schedule that you mentioned. Like, when I look under the hood, there's not like anything too exciting to be about, again, other than the fact that he's a Dodger pitcher, which is hugely valuable in my esteem. 9.4 or 16% K minus walk rate is decent, but 9.4% swinging strike rate, 26.8% O swings, not really getting chases. You know, the walk rate is right around, if not a little worse than league average for a starter. Z contact's around 89%, you know, as well. He does have like a decent repertoire. I think it's either the slider or the changeup slider generates 18% whiffs, 40% O swing, you know, but still some decent contact in the zone. So he's really, you know, relying on guys chasing, but that fastball just does nothing, you know, doesn't get chased on pitches outside the zone, 4% swinging strike rate. So again, like, I think the value, like you mentioned before, isn't necessarily in the metrics, but it's in, you know, the schedule and the fact that he's with the Dodgers, and hopefully with that will come some wins. So I think he was definitely worth, you know, putting bids out there for, but I wasn't super aggressive because I didn't, again, see anything that I really loved in what he was doing outside of that 16% K minus walk rate, which theoretically is the most important metric if you're just going to look at one.
And the other thing I'll mention, and I did this before, is I don't go crazy on a lot of pitchers. I didn't, again, break the bank. It's like a broken record, but it's like Ross Stripling a few weeks ago. There's certain pitchers on good teams I know are going to have an every week role that I'm willing to put a little more focus on than the guys who are like the Tyler Wells for a week or stuff along those lines. I'll go ahead and be a little more aggressive on a Mitch White, who I know I'm going to hold on to for a while, barring something catastrophic compared to a pitch and ditch type situation. So that's where I was really aggressive on White, looking at the lack of pitching options, even in 12 teams. 15s is dreadful, but even in 12s, I'm like, this dude actually has a role going forward on the Dodgers. Like, I'm going to value that a little higher than some other potential streamer situation, like Keegan Thompson's of the world. So that was where I was on this. Like, I am on Stripling, and I've been playing Stripling almost every week. So that's just kind of where I sit on those. Graham Ashcraft added in 60 leagues, as high as 51, as low as one, coming off eight strong against the Giants, striking out eight. Two starts previous to that, really, really bad. So he had one good start to get everybody back on board, apparently. So that was fun to see the short memory span of many people out there. He gets the Cubs in Chicago this week, and then next week, Pittsburgh. So what's your thing? Nick Lodolo is coming back soon, so we'll have to see how that rotation plays out as well, because Ashcraft is supposed to, if the schedule is right on RotoWire, Ashcraft is pitching game two of the doubleheader next week, so he's technically not even one of the main stays in the rotation, so he might be out after the following week. So what's your thoughts on Graham Ashcraft, who I did not put any bids on after he blew up two straight starts?
Yeah, that Lodolo is going to be a little tough too, because you got he's got the Mets at home and then Tampa Bay at home, so he's got one pretty juicy matchup and then one really tough matchup. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm definitely excited about that. Yeah, Ashcraft, I don't really see anything to kind of latch onto outside of the results. I mean, 3.27 ERA, 109 whip. That's nice, but only 27 strikeouts and 41 and a third innings pitched. You know, 15.8% K rate, 4.1% walk rate. So 11.7% K minus walk, you know, below league average there. His Z contact is awful at 92.3%. He's essentially like the best hitter in the league when it comes to making contact in the zone, maybe like a Stephen Kwan or something. O swing 34.1%, you know, so that's good. So like, he's not going to walk a lot of guys, but you know, the BABIP is relatively low at 260, the home runs per 9.87. I don't know if he has a history of, you know, suppressing home runs in the minors or not. It looks like he does a little bit, but he doesn't have a huge track record. So maybe that's a quality that he does have. What's his ground ball rate? His ground ball rate is pretty high at 57.5%. So maybe that's how he does a little bit of the damage limitation. But again, like, I don't see a huge upside here. He's on a bad team. He's not going to get you a lot of Ks. So you're really relying on those ratios. And I think those can go south pretty quickly. So not really interested in him, especially shallow league and a 15 teamer. I could see why maybe somebody might take a shot at that, but I'm not super interested. So yep. Wasn't on my radar.
100% on board with you on that one. Speaking of Ross Stripling, he was added in 51 leagues, as high as $59, as low as one. One big reason, two-step this week. That's what people always love to target. He had Boston tonight where he pitched five, gave up two, and then he gets Tampa Bay on Sunday. The one thing I'll say about Stripling, he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. That's well-established, but he's made five starts now. He's going to get up five total runs, and he's got three wins in those five starts. That's including tonight's outing. So he's doing the little things that get the job done. If he struck out guys, that'd be great. They're letting him go like 85 to 90 pitches. He's not going like deep, but he's doing just enough in that with that offense behind him to be an effective starter from time to time. So that's why I already had him everywhere. So I didn't have to go bidding on him. But what were your thoughts on Ross Stripling?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I've got him in one 15 teamer. I think I got him a while back. Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, he really seems to have made some changes. I'll dive in a second. I want to say that he's started using his changeup a lot more, which has always been his best pitch, but I may be absolutely wrong with that. But yeah, I mean, the results have been great. 3.08 ERA, you know, 1.06 whip, 43 strikeouts and 52 and two thirds. But, you know, you look at the K rate, it's not great, but it's at 20.3%. So it's higher than 20%, lower than league average, but that walk rate is also really low, 5.2% with a 37.4% O swing. So an absolutely elite O swing, which I think is really critical, right? Getting those chases on pitches outside the zone. His K minus walk rate is a very respectable 15.1%. You know, even last year, it was a 14.8%. So in five of his seven seasons that he's pitched, you know, he's had a better than league average K minus walk rate. The swinging strike rate is also back up 11.1%. So that's solid enough. And then the Z contact, while not terrific, is at 86.1%. So slightly worse than league average, but not like, you know, not god awful. And then when you think, let me just see if there's like been a little bit of a velo bump or anything like that with him. No velo bump at all. So probably usage pattern change. So yeah, it's the changeup. The changeup has a 20.7% swinging strike rate, 79.2% in zone, a 52.3% O swing, which is just
pretty darn good.
That is phenomenal. And he's throwing it a lot more. So last year it was his fourth most used pitch. Just to give you a sense, last year he threw, I got to do math quickly here. essentially what's 800 plus 862. He threw
1662.
Like, yeah. Like seven, let's just say 1700 pitches last year. You know, this year he is, and he only threw 254 changeups. This year he has thrown, let's call it 850. So like half as many innings or half as many pitches. And he's got 213 changeups. So almost as many changeups. It's the second most common pitch that he's throwing. And I think that's a huge change. Like those are the types of things that can really boost somebody from kind of middling spot starter to a guy that you throw in there regularly. And today was a total bummer because he pitched well. I was really nervous about having him in there with the Red Sox. Last year, the Red Sox absolutely blew him up. So I was really bummed out, you know, because for some reason, the Blue Jays didn't want to win the game and they brought in Trent Thornton to protect a 2-run lead. I was like, wait a second. Let's like break down Trent Thornton here for a second. Okay. I hope he's really bad. Because,
and we're going to lose.
He wasn't that bad before today. It's like 3.45 ERA, 1.24 whip, 24 strikeouts and 31 and a third. But yeah, 10.1% K-minus walk rate, 8.4% swinging strike rate, 26.9% O-swing, 90.2% Z-contact. Is that the guy that you want to pitch against the Red Sox in a division game up two with the win for my pitcher on the fantasy line, Toronto Blue Jays fans? Absolutely not. That is not.
I can't believe you're still wearing that
hat. That lead. This is my Ross Stripling hat. This is actually my Vlad Jr. Didn't he have a game-winning hit today?
I think so, yes.
Did he? Yeah. Yeah, this is my game-winning Vlad Jr. hat that I have on today, as well as my Ross Stripling, Trent Thornton cost him a win hat. you know, I'm thinking about starting a Twitter account that's dedicated to just going off the rails every time like a starting pitcher in fantasy baseball has a wind blown. Yeah, that's my new.
That'd be a busy account.
It would be a busy account.
All right. Next up on the list, I'm glad we're on the same page on Stripling, though. Seth Brown added in 50 leagues as high as $39. You know, he came in his last six games, multiple hits in four games, hit safely in all six, hitting 440 with two home runs, a stolen base, not playing every day, but close to every day, did not play on Tuesday. But we know what he can do. He's streaky. He's got some power. We talked about it in the preseason with everyday playing time. Not going to be a batting average asset, that's for sure. But I guess people wanted to roll with him going into Yankee Stadium and whatnot. But I wasn't overly aggressive on Seth Brown. We talked about Tyrone Taylor. We talked about Oliveras. We talked about Josh Lowe. Like, Brown would have been far down the list for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's somewhat interesting. What's remarkable is he has seven steals, you know? So, like, he's got 10 home runs, seven steals, and 241 plate appearances. So we're talking about, like, a, I don't know, like a 22-15 guy, you know, like over the course of a full season.
Serviceable, quite serviceable.
Which it's definitely serviceable. I think he's still being platoon though, you know, so he's not necessarily hitting against lefties, which is always a little bit difficult to time. In 15 teamers, he's long gone. So in 12 teamers, again, there's not much that kind of differentiates him, especially like I want to stay away. I think he had a decent game yesterday, but like I want to stay away from that Yankees pitching staff. Like there's no part of me that's really super interested in having hitters go up against them.
Yeah, 100% with you. Let's recap our moves for the week, Toby. If you want to pull yours up, we'll talk about our ad drops, because then we have a handful of listener questions to go over from last episode and this episode to get you guys covered on some goodies here. So when you are ready, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, added Nick Gordon, dropped Carson Kelly, $14 bid, $4 backup. I'm going kind of naked in a couple of my leagues with Danny Jansen there. I got Carson Kelly. I got his home run. Kelly actually has Coors at the end of the week, so I was like, maybe I should hang on to that, but it's just...
I dropped him everywhere like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's like when you go like 1 for 15 on the week, you know, it's just brutal. Picked up Corey Knebel, dropped Daniel Hudson, $2. You know, with Knebel, this is just kind of one of those. He's had two clean outings in a row. I can't remember. Did he have a clean outing today, or did he blow it?
I did not see what Philadelphia did. It was a tie game last time I saw.
It was 5-3. So he pitched two and a third. He had a strikeout. He didn't blow anything. So, you know, again, like it's just one of those situations where maybe he strings together like 5 or 6 clean outings and they try him out. Again, I wouldn't move Sir Anthony Dominguez out of that role, but, you know, you never know what big league managers are going to do. And then also picked up Austin Voth. This is a 15-team league. Voth actually pitched decently well for the Orioles in his first start. He only went 3 innings, but velo was up a little bit. He had a decent number of swinging strikes. So I was just kind of going with it. I mean, that's how desperate things are, but this week, he's got a decent matchup. He's got at Seattle, so he's throwing tomorrow, not starting him then. But the next week, if he looks good this week, the next week he's got home against Texas and then home against the Angels. And so, again, you know, like, I don't know if I'll throw him out there, but he's worth a speculative ad there just to see kind of what happens. So that was the 115-teamer in... Another one, I added Seiya Suzuki, $73 bid, which is one of my higher bids of the year. I only had a $16 runner-up, which I found a little bit surprising. If you go to Seiya Suzuki's player page, Seiya Suzuki nearing rehab assignment. He's getting closer to rehab assignment. Took live batting practice on Tuesday. He's been out about a month, but I'm anticipating that he's going to be back, I don't know, 2 weeks, something like that. And we forget really quickly that Seiya Suzuki, so he's got 4 home runs and 3 steals in 140 at bats. So multiply that by 4. So like you're looking at maybe like he had about 16 and 12, but he had 21, he had 20 runs, 21 RBIs. So you're looking at 80-80 average there with like decent batting average. So again, like he could be a real difference maker, I think, down the stretch. So I was willing to bid a decent amount. I also had a little bit saved up there. Added Josh Smith, dropped Mikel Franco. Franco's just like, he was playing every day. He started to lose some playing time. He just kind of sucks. Doesn't really do anything special. So I dropped him. Josh Smith, I'm really hoping he can help out with some saves. Hitting atop that lineup, it is a little bit of a bummer that he seems to be in a pretty clear platoon there where they're just pitching him against, having him go against righties. So we'll see how long that lasts. But, you know, who knows? Hoping that I can get John Birdie in a bottle or something like that. In the main, added Jesus Aguilar, who was available for $48. So this actually was like I enjoyed this fab run, in this particular league. Jesus Aguilar, I added $48, 32 runner up, dropped Bobby Dalbec again, like kind of like a pretty similar guy to Bobby Dalbec with a higher batting average, playing every single day in a Marlins lineup that isn't great, but also has some potential there if some pieces get hot. So I like him as a guy that I can just kind of rotate in based on matchups, get those 4 versus 3 type things going on. Lou Trevino, I added for 33, backup of 12, dropped Eric Haas, added Josh Smith, dropped Miggy Rojas, $23. I was pretty aggressive because I needed steals in that league. So was going with Josh Smith. In another league, added Jose Quintana, dropped Bobby Dalbec, a bid of $24, a runner-up of 18. Quintana has pitched really well, actually. I mean, like, pitched pretty well. He pitched pretty well today, so that was nice. And then he's got a good matchup, I think, at the back half of the week as well. So kind of looking Milwaukee he's got at the end of the week. So hopefully that works out as well. So that was, I think, my only add there. In my 12 teamer, in my OC, added Jack Sawinski, dropped Zach Davies. Again, the Pirates have a juicy schedule, 4 at, the Nationals against that pitching staff. And then 3 on the weekend, which I think are a decent matchup, Milwaukee. But Milwaukee doesn't have their best arms right now. They will get Woodruff, who pitched brilliantly today. And then in my OC, I had Jose Quintana. I added him for $3, dropped Nico Horner. Horner in an OC is decent. You know, I think he's pretty well owned, but I have John Birdie already, so steals aren't really a thing. And I don't think Horner does enough overall in an OC to really, you know, be worth it compared to kind of like a streaming guy. So and then in TGFBI, I added Josh Lowe, $78, backup of 54. Again, I'm pretty offensively starved. I think I actually have the best. I should look this up. I think I have the best pitching staff overall. No, I don't. Steve Weimer does. Sorry, Steve.
Of course.
Apologies.
Of course.
But I have the number 7 overall pitching staff in TGFBI. And so, again, like really needing my hitting to get going there. So Josh Lowe, 78, a runner up of 54, and then added Josh Smith as well. Dropped Bailey Ober. My pitching staff in TGFBI is just absolutely juicy. Just like crushing virtually every category except for saves, but I've got Iglesias and now I've got Dominguez and I've also got Daniel Bard. And then in Barf, sorry guys, this is a long one. Josh Smith, I added Josh Smith and dropped Jonathan VR in Barf because again, I'm light on speed there. So Josh Smith was kind of the major guy I was attacking through across leagues and then got a few other guys in a few other places. How about your leagues? How did they go?
One of my OCs, I added Orlando Arcia, dropped Jonathan VR, $11, no runner up. Added Dane Dunning, dropped Eduardo Rodriguez, which I'm going to regret that. I know I just have no idea what's going on there. I need the roster spots. Got Dane Dunning for $4, no runner up. And then I added Elias Diaz for $1, no runner up. He went deep on Tuesday. In my next OC, I added Mitch White, dropped Alex Fado, added $16, runner up of 8. Actually, I had a runner up in that one. Added Josh Lowe for 13, dropped Jonathan VR for 7, added Cal Raleigh for $1. next up in my next OC, I added Mitch White for 31, dropped Alex Fado, runner up at 12, added Eddie O for 17, dropped Bryson Stott, runner up at 5. That one stings already. And then my fourth OC, my fourth and final OC, added Mitch White for 31, runner up of 2, dropped Eduardo Rodriguez, added Orlando Arcia, dropped Nico Horner 13-3 in that one. And then in my OCQ, added Mitch White for 22, dropped Danny Jimenez, no runner-up. Added Andrew McCutchen for 14, dropped Bryson Stott for and runner-up was 11. Added Dane Dunning, dropped Tyler McGill. Finally gave up on that one. $12 runner-up of 2. And then my other OCQ, I had two of them. This one I'm in first place in. Added Mitch White, dropped Jose Miranda, who went deep today. $33, no runner-up bid. That was fun. In BARF, I added Mitch White for 44. Runner-up was 37, so that made me feel better. Dropped Cole Calhoun in that one. And then last but not least, TGFBI, added Mitch White for 44. Runner-up of 13, dropped Glenn Otto. And that was it there. So not a ton of fab work for me, but like I told you, lots of Mitch White. Lots of Mitch White in my world. Added Orlando Arcia too. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, we'll see. I lost VRs and others of the world, so needed some middle infield help. So we went with Orlando Arcia. All right, it's time for some listener questions. Like I said, we'll go over the ones from a few weeks ago and some more. We'll start off with Mr. Todd Whitestone himself. Which third base eligible player would you rank first and second over the rest of the 2022 season? You can cross off Ezekiel Duran because he's back in the minors. But you have Jose Miranda, Jake Berger, Bryson Stott, Patrick Wisdom, assuming there's no categorical need. So out of those four, who's number one and who's number two for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Wisdom would be number one. Wisdom, like, I should probably look at and see.
He's been,
you know,
pretty decent lately, actually.
Yeah, so he's hitting .232, and again, like, compared to, like, the league average, like, no problem there. He's got 14 home runs. He's even got two steals, 38 and 37 in terms of runs and RBI. I mean, again, the strikeout rate is really high, but it's 34.2%. He's walking a decent amount. His contact rate is actually up in the high 60s. I mean, that's actually pretty juicy. So I like Wisdom a lot. You know, 14 home runs. How many barrels does the guy have? 25 barrels, 16.4%, which is actually the same as he had last year. So it's consistently just barreling it up. I mean, really an incredibly underrated player in a lot of ways. Who are the other guys? Berger. Is Berger injured or is
Berger,
he back?
He should be still playing. Berger, Bryson Stott, and Jose Miranda.
Yeah, I mean, Stott, I'm not a huge fan of at all. Berger was getting super lucky the last time I looked. Let's see, 8 home runs, .251. Yeah, you know, really bad chase rate. I think that'll catch up with him probably.
Man, it's good.
Yeah, the quality of contact is very good. So actually, like, a relatively similar profile to Wisdom.
Yep.
The question will just be, like, how low does that?
And Moncada just got activated off the IL today.
Batting average go. So there you go. There's another answer there. The problem with Stott for me is, like, he just doesn't really do, like, anything. Like, he reminds me a lot of I say this every single time, so sorry, I'm a broken record, but like a little bit of Kevin Biggio in the sense that, like, he's got a little bit of pop, he's got a little bit of speed, but like it's not good enough, like, to compensate. You know, although his max EV is up to 106.3, so that's at least a little bit of something, but I'm just not seeing it yet. It could be there because he's got the good O swing, he's got the good contact rate. You know, he barrels the ball, not great, 3.7%, but he can at least do that. So, and he's got the playing time, or appears to have the playing time a little bit. But I'd go with Wisdom and Berger, and then probably Stott. I mean, Duran got dropped down, and then who was the other one?
Jose Miranda.
Yeah, Miranda. I mean, I know he had a bomb today, but I just don't think he's playing enough, right? I mean, I know this question was from like 3 weeks ago, so it's probably changed considerably, but yeah.
Yeah, it's Wisdom and Berger for me. I'm a big Berger fan. Moncada coming back will be interesting, given Moncada's not that good right now. So we'll see how that playing time plays out. But I do like Berger quite a bit. But yeah, it's Wisdom for sure. I even pulled up his last 14 games. He's got only 2 home runs, but hitting .294, which is outstanding for him. 28% K rate, which sounds like a lot, but for him, it's pretty darn good as well. And you mentioned the quality of contact, 14% barrel, 45% hard hit over the last 2 weeks. Z contact up to 81%, which his O swing's only 26% over the last 2 weeks. So there's some signs of life with Patrick Wisdom, which is pretty intriguing to see for sure. So I like that one quite a bit. Lil Book of Calm asked, welcome back. I'm a dummy who picked Giolito over Alcantara this year, and I'm trying to decide how sad to be. And this was back then. Gio has a 3.88 ERA, swinging strike percentage is down, CSW is stable. The 4.65 xERA and 3.33 Sierra tell very different stories. 3.54 BABIP, 83% left on base. How do you feel the rest of season? I've discussed him on a few other shows, not just this show, but other shows. And he was much better against Anaheim, given Anaheim strikes out a ton. It all revolves around his changeup right now. His changeup is hideous and getting crushed because he's leaving it right in the zone. When his changeup's on, it's great because if you look at his CSW and a lot of other numbers, they're in line with his previous seasons. Like they're really strong. His changeup's just getting pounded. So he's got to figure that out. I don't know if it's a slippery ball or what it is. I'm still very optimistic on Giolito. I think he's that good. We saw even last year he had that hiccup in the middle of the season, and then he came back and pitched really well. So maybe I'm being silly and optimistic, but I'm optimistic. What about you?
Yeah. Let's see what we got here.
It's scary. He's getting up a ton of long balls. It's no Jose Barrios story, but it's still scary.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the combined numbers are still good, but like if you look at his last five, Z contact at 85.7. O swing is below 30%, 28.
Oh, sorry. He had more on here. He also said it's a 21% K to walk, which is top 15 in baseball. 11 home run on 16 barrels, kind of unlucky. 33% ground ball rate, which is the worst of his career.
Yeah. K percentage is at 18.3 over the same range, 11.5 swing strike. So there's not like a lot great going on, and I'm not exactly sure. What it is. I feel like we need some smart person to write, you know, some sort of article explaining to us. The velo is down, down, down. It's like, that's not good. It's going down. So I think the thing is, like, he was at his best when he was 94, 95. And now he's struggling to get to 93 on average. So that, I think, explains some of it. But some of it's bad luck. I mean, you just look at the numbers. Like, he's got a 360 BABIP against. I mean, I think in the last two games, he had like over 20 combined hits against. The home runs per nine are at 1.95, you know, which is, you know, that's even like, that's worse than his, when he was the worst pitcher in baseball, you know, a few seasons ago. So I threw him out there this week just on a hope and a prayer, and he did well. It was an encouraging start. Yesterday, I don't know about the velo number, but I know that he had, I think, like 14 whiffs and 90 pitches.
He had like a 33% CSW or something like that.
33% CSW. So there were some encouraging signs. Like, you can't just give up on him, but certainly you'd rather have Sandy Alcantara. I drafted Giolito in the second round, I think. I really wanted him on one of my teams, and I drafted him in the second round, I think, of my super maybe or something like that. So yeah, it's just one of those breaks. Like you weren't expecting this. Like even when he was really bad last year, like he wasn't this bad. So you just hope that he starts to get a little bit lucky now, and that can get him through this slump, and then they can figure out something to get that velo back up.
Yeah, I agree. And I could see a second round and a 15, you'd have to do it for sure. So we'll see how that plays out. And I apologize if anybody can hear it. My neighbors decided to light off fireworks already. So June 28th, everybody. So have fun with that. But
it's fire season. Don't they know that?
Oh, I know. They went on sale today for the first time, and they're already lighting them off. So it's going to be a fun week. I can tell already. Bocephus21 says, I stocked my teams with a mass amount of multi-inning guys at the beginning of the season, such as King, Burke, Thompson, and Aiken. Some event has them all playing different roles. King not getting two or three innings anymore. Who are guys to fill these spots and targets for ratio? So some long inning relievers to target for ratios potentially.
One guy who comes to mind who actually had a blow up, not a blow up, but like gave up two runs yesterday is Reynaldo Lopez. Like if you look at Reynaldo Lopez's last 15 games, like it's pretty incredible. Let me get it up here. So over Reynaldo Lopez's last 15 games, he is, all right, ready? All right, check this out. Reynaldo Lopez, last 15 games, Z-Contact, 73.1%. That is unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. 40.4% O-Swing. Unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. K-Rate, 29.5%. Very good. Swinging strike rate, 18.6%. Very good. Walk rate, 5.1%. Very good. You know, so the K-minus walk rate is 24.4%. Absolutely dominant. I mean, that's really good. And then when you look at like his game log, yeah, he gave up 2 earned runs yesterday, but you know, this is the number of strikeouts he's had in the last like 10 outings. 1-3-3-2-3-3-2-1. Right. So again, like, you know, I don't think he's going to do that consistently, but the velo is up past 96, I think. He's looked absolutely dominant. So that would be one name that I got. And then I'll just say, like, one of the things that I would do is just go to the pitcher leaderboards on Baseball Savant. You can even click over to the relievers. You can look at like last 30 days and just and then just look at K minus walk rate. You know, yeah. So K minus walk rate leaders over that time. And some of them are going to be closers, like Edwin Diaz, Raisel Iglesias, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Joe Jimenez is up there. Like Joe Jimenez, like, holy cow, could he actually be good? Andrés Muñoz has been absolutely insanely good. Like,
I've been using him in a lot of DCs right now with injuries. I've used him a ton in DCs right now.
Yeah, totally. Class A, Griffin Jacks is a great one. I'd actually
Griffin add Jacks him is a great one. That's big, a good call. Big, good
big
call.
Time. Like, because yep. He's thrown maybe a couple innings, and he also oftentimes piggybacks on guys like Archer who can't go five.
Yep. You can sneak some wins in there.
Totally. So he's good in there. So just kind of do that. Eli Morgan is a really good one. He's
been getting a ton of work too. Yeah.
He's been pitching fantastic. So there's a number of different guys that you can kind of go to and get. Yeah. So that's what I would say. Those are some of the guys.
Yeah, I love the Griffin Jacks call. I think there's a lot to come off of because he's even a guy that you can get the long innings now. And if something happens to that rotation, he'll slide right in there. And now you have another starter that could be kind of good. So that's an interesting option as well. D-Bone asks, Cubs have some injuries and issues in the rotation. Maybe an opportunity for Caleb Killian to come back and start. Do you or Toby rate his skills enough to be on 15-teamers if he's up again?
Oh, man, I don't know how you can trust the guy. I had him on 15-teamers previously. I don't know how you throw Caleb Killian out there.
The prospect pedigree is pretty awesome, but it's been rough.
Yeah, it's been so bad. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those ones where you really have to watch the start to appreciate it, but just had no idea where the ball was going. Like in his first start, he couldn't get any swings and misses. He got some swings and misses his second one, but he was just all over the place. Like you can't throw that out there, especially on the Cubs. And like, he's not going to be efficient with his pitches. Going five innings is going to be a struggle. There's so much downside. It's just really hard. And obviously things can change. The projections really liked him. That's why I had him. Liked him better than a lot of the other guys that were going for more money. But you just haven't been able to put it together. So I find it really difficult to think about adding Caleb Killian to my roster anytime soon.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. Dave Petros Yellow asked, what's your advice for a person playing mains for the first time that has a pretty good team, but wins is by far his worst category and has had bullpens blow wins 4 nights in a row with Sandy about 10 minutes ago losing his win because Okert sucks. How do I not let it affect my mood? My wife could probably do without me getting super irritated at about 10 p.m. every night.
Yeah, it's a great question, Dave. I think that's one of the beauties of season long. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like season long is because over the course of the full season, you will have those instances. You will have plenty of instances where a bullpen blows the win for your guy. But, you know, you'll also have instances where guy gives up 4 runs, guy gives up 3 runs in 5, but still pulls out the win. So those ugly wins, and we tend to remember the blown ones instead of the ugly wins that we get or the relief pitcher wins that we get. And so over the course of the full season, you just hope it evens out. And I think when you look at it, there will always be some outliers on your teams. But if you're up there in Ks, you know, you're up there in innings pitched, your ratios are decent, and you've targeted guys that are on decent teams, then the win should eventually be there. But it is incredibly challenging. It's just important to remember we're what, like 45% of the way through the season, something like that. Like you know, 40 to 45% of the way through the season. And so, you know, it feels like there's so little time, but there's still a lot of time for things to change. And all it takes is a couple weeks where, you know, instead of only getting wins in a third of your starts, you get wins in two thirds of your starts. And all of a sudden you're catching up, and other guys get bad luck who have gotten lucky the first half of the season. You just hope it all evens out. That's the beauty of season long.
Yep. Get that positive regression coming your way. As long as Alcantara keeps pitching the way Alcantara pitches, he'll get his wins. They will come eventually. Yeah, that's the beauty of it all. Like you said, Joe G says, with India back, I have to drop one. He's probably already dropped them by now, but for fun, would you drop Luis Garcia of the Nats, Espinal, Brendan Rodgers, or Justin Turner in a deep 6x6 daily roto league? I'd drop Justin Turner personally.
But is it Justin Turner,
Brendan Rodgers, Espinal, or Luis Garcia of the Nats?
And how many teams is it?
Six. It just says deep 6x6 roto.
Deep 6x6. I might do Espinal in that instance. Let me just see what he's doing.
It's between Espinal and Turner for me. I'm just done with Turner. He's not good.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing with Espinal is, you know, the guy's almost at 300 plate appearances. He's hitting 261, which is great. He's got 5 home runs and he's got 3 steals. If you add that with his rest of season bat projection, you're looking at 9 home runs and 7 steals. That sucks. Like, you know, like 10 and 10 is fine, but like, if he's not really like contributing a lot outside of that, right, he's going to be like 60 to 65 runs in RBI combined. That's just not a lot. I mean, Justin Turner has been awful. Don't get me wrong here. But Justin Turner also, as I look up his profile, Justin Turner has 37 RBI, 31 runs. So only got the 4 home runs and the 1 steal, but and he's hitting 216. But his rest of season projection is 272, 13 home runs, 45, 47, and 1. You know, he's got 248 BABIP, which is by far the worst of his career. Like, by far. His career BABIP is 311. But his home run per fly ball is 4.4%. You know, like, he's still making contact at a decent clip. He's got 15 barrels and only 4 home runs. So just be patient. Justin Turner will go on a run. He's going to put together 2 or 3 weeks where he hits 5 to 7 home runs, drives in 15 and 15, and hits like 400. And then all of a sudden, we'll love him again.
Yeah. Enjoy. Some questions for tonight now from tonight's questions. Anthony Gialdi asks, looking for thoughts and feelings and general impressions on Vinny Pescantino, Italian beef, Italian breakfast, whichever one you prefer. He's here and damage will be dealt. And he also said Bobby Witt Jr. is picking it up. Bobby Witt Jr. is awesome. But what's your thoughts on Vinny P?
Vinny Pescantino. I know there's a lot of people that are very excited about Vinny.
Yep.
That are very excited about Vinny. His rest of season projection that I have from the Bat X, 180 plate appearances, 251, 5 home runs, 1 steal, 20 runs, 22 RBI. So if you multiply that by 2, which is about what we have left of the season, you're looking at 251, 10 home runs, 40 and 44. Now, if you are very enthusiastic about Vinny, you can look at his rest of season for Steamer, which is 265, 13 home runs and 2 steals with 39 runs and 40 RBI. So again, you know, that'll be a pretty considerable contribution, but is it that much different than a lot of the minor league guys that come up? I mean, maybe. I know a lot of people are really excited about him. A lot of smart people are really excited about him. So I'm interested to see what he does. And he's certainly probably one of the last like big time hitters that'll probably come up this year. So if you're looking to splash some fab, maybe that's the place to do it. But I'm always just a little bit hesitant on these rookie guys. And I still haven't been able to get over. Think about how excited we've been about so many rookies this year. Mm-hmm. Have the rookies been good? Like, who's the good one? I mean, Luis Garcia has been good since he came up.
He's been good. Bobby Witt was good, but you drafted him. Same with Julio.
Yeah, you drafted him like top.
Yeah, but like, yeah, call up wise, many of them have not performed at all. No.
Yeah. It's just tough.
It is. The one thing I'll say about Vinny P, you know, he's crushing in the minors. Like everybody knows, 18 homers, hitting .280, walking 12.5% of the time, only striking out 12.2% of the time. So that was he's had a pretty low strikeout rate his entire minor league career, which is pretty promising for the big man. I'm optimistic for him. Again, like, I never break the bank. We've talked about this time and time again. Like, Alec Thomas has been pretty good, not great. He's been serviceable. I'll say that much for rookie call-ups. But, way more have not performed than have performed, as you've mentioned. I hope Vinny P performs. I really do. So I understand if you need to go get aggressive on him for power potential. But again, remember, it is the Royals lineup as well. So where are the run potential going to be? That's one thing to consider. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by Vinny P. I hope he does well. I really do. That'd be a lot of fun. Eric Samolsky asks, guys, Dean Kramer. I mean, it's been good so far. Good home park. Maybe a thing. 7 shutout tonight, by the way, in Seattle. He's looking good. He's been very, very good of late. So, Toby, what are your thoughts on Dean Kramer? Because he's been pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, I just can't get on board with Dean Kramer. I'm sorry. I mean,
is it the Dean or the Kramer part?
It's the combination of the two. I mean, I could handle a Dean. I could handle a Kramer, but
gotcha.
Both of them. And I may lose my voice here in a second. I haven't talked this much in such a long time and had COVID in between. Yeah, I mean, 21 innings pitched, 14 strikeouts, a 1.24 whip, 1.71 ERA. The peripherals, 16.3% K rate, borderline unrosterable, 5.8% walk rate, 10.5% K minus walk, 10.2% swinging strike, 87.2% Z contact, 34.7 O swing. So the O swing's great. It's really important. And is he getting like a ton of ground balls or what's his deal? Why can't I find it? No, only 37.9%. He's got a 0.43 home run per nine. He's got an 86% strand rate. I just don't see it. I don't see why he would do well. And he's doing well. And again, like, you know, if you started him this week, I know I poo-pooed him like this week, heading into this week, and he's doing well, but his best pitch, the only pitch with a swinging strike rate over 10%, is his slider at 13.8%. And so it's just like, it's really hard to see him being successful over the long term. Anybody can be successful over the short term, especially a guy who can get chases on pitches on the outside the zone. He runs up against a good enough schedule, you know, all that jazz. Like, the Mariners have been doing crap, right? And who has he faced? He's faced Cleveland, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Chicago White Sox.
So not too bad of a start. And next week, he's at home against Texas and the Angels. Two good matchups as well. He's in play next week. It could work out,
but I just warn you,
long term,
you've been warned. Hey, do not trust Dean Kramer.
This feels like Bruce Zimmerman all over again.
I mean, like Bruce Kramer, Bruce Zimmerman, he did his job at the beginning of the season.
But yeah, you had to know when to cut bait. So if you want to roll with Kramer for a bit, go for it. Just know when to hit the eject button.
It's a great comp because, I mean, who did Zimmerman face earlier this year, right? It was like, who was it? First of all, like the ball was like a...
Yeah, the ball helped him a ton. But like once he started facing like the Yankees and stuff, it started going the other direction real quick.
Like Bruce. So let's take a look at Bruce. We should compare like who he had to face early on. So Bruce Zimmerman, his first game, he had Milwaukee and the Yankees. Okay, take it back. Yeah, then he had the Angels and the Yankees. Okay, I take it back again. And then he had Minnesota and then KC and then Detroit and then the Yankees two more times, man. Poor guy had to face the Yankees four times out of eight starts.
At least he had the dead ball for that. That helps. Yeah. That's a plus.
So anyways, that totally invalidated my point about Bruce Zimmerman. But yeah, Kramer, jump off while you can.
I'll put bids in for him next week. I'll sync with that ship. Those are two outstanding matchups. The Angels versus right-handed pitching right now, they're striking out almost 30% of the time over the last month. It is bad. bad, bad, bad.
God, they're bad at putting together teams over there.
Yes.
Holy crap.
So we'll wait and see how that one plays out. Two more questions for you. Rand Simon asks, thoughts on Blake Snell? My entire bench is either on the IL, Scherzer, Rasmussen, Whitlock, Bader, O'Neill, Jansen. Scherzer's coming back soon. Or at home doing research at Tanner Houck. That was a wink, wink. I'm not using Snell this week in LA. Then he gets the Giants at home. Then in Colorado, would you cut him? Yes, don't roster Blake Snell. But that's me. I have a bias. I have never been a Blake Snell guy. I think he might be streamable from time to time, but he is not an every start guy for me. Toby's smarter than I am, though. So, Toby, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you – I mean, it depends on how deep the league is. But
he said 12-team. 12-team.
12-team. I mean – it's kind of borderline with Snell, but I'd still hold on to him. I mean, the potential we've seen in spurts has been absolutely incredible, and it's really hard to get that off the wire.
But I think what he's asking, though, is he's got so many guys on the IL, so he needs a roster spot, and he benched him this week against the Dodgers. He's at the Giants next week and then at Colorado.
I mean, so he's not going to home him. Against the Giants next
yeah,
week.
Right? And then at Colorado, though.
Yeah. I mean, the San Francisco home start is perfectly reasonable start to throw him in, I think. I don't think the Giants' offense is as good as it has been as it was last year.
Lefty's good.
It just depends. I mean, again, it depends on what you're picking up and adding. Blake Snell has not been good, but there's reason to believe it should get better. Like, I mean, here's some examples. So, number one, he's got like a 58.6% strand rate. So that ERA is bloated way above what it should be. You know, the walk rate's at 12.2%, but then, you know, 34.2% O swing. So higher than his career average, right? So that walk rate should come down a little bit. He's getting ahead of guys at about his career rate, you know, slightly higher. Swinging strike rate's at 13.4%. K minus walk rate's at 12.2%, but I would argue that both the K rate and the walk rate are a little bit under what they should be. So if they had a little bit in each direction, you know, like he hasn't had a K rate under 30 since 2018. So let's say it gets to like goes down to 10% walk rate, and then he gets up to 28% K rate. Then you're looking at an 18% K minus walk rate. You know, things change pretty quickly there, and the Padres are a pretty good team. So, you know, again, I'd probably hold on to him. Again, it seems difficult because you got these 2 weeks where, I mean, he's playable next week. So you're really just talking about the at Colorado. And then at that point, you know, what are you looking at, Ben? Who's after that? So you got, what does he have? Does he have Arizona this week or Philly?
He had Dodgers this week. He sat him versus the Dodgers.
Oh, I'm too far behind here. So, all right. So he gets that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She's got at Colorado, but then he's got at Arizona too. So yeah, it's a little bit tough. But then after that, he's got at Detroit. You can keep going. Then he's got home against Colorado. So again, you know, like it's just, you're just in a bad run right now. Hopefully he gets it worked out over the next little bit.
Just add Dean Kramer while you need somebody.
Yeah. Right.
last question we got here. Joey G asks, thoughts on Jake Meyers? Seems to be the starting center fielder in Houston. He is. He's shown a little power and speed in the mind. I'll get overly excited by Houston because they rotate guys around so much, but it's a great offense to hit in. So if it's a deep league, sure. What thoughts on Jake Meyers?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a decent guy. Yeah, like you mentioned, like I think the major question is around playing time. I know McCormick dropped down. I didn't see if Brantley's in the lineup or not. I know he's
on the IL.
He is on the IL. So there's some space for sure. But he's also hitting ninth, you know, and, you know, if he can replicate what he did last year with the 352 BABIP, you know, he hit 260 with 6 home runs and 3 steals. You know, so he was pretty good last year, but, you know, maybe slightly lucky, 18.8% home run per fly ball. You know, he had 10 barrels, 10.1%. So decent. So I do think that there's some hope there. What is he's 5-4 over 216 with a 239 batting average, according to the BADX. So, you know, there's a little bit there. So I had him on my bid list. But I had like Nick Gordon and Taylor Trammell, I think, ahead of him.
100%.
Just because they're, yeah, I think there's more access to playing time there and or batting higher in the lineup when they're in the lineup. So, again, so I think he's definitely somebody who could do the trick, but I'm not overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. It's like got to be really deep league, and you're running out of options. Is the way I'd look at it. He's not my priority. Like I'd even debate like Tyrone Taylor, you know, those guys over him potentially, depending on your league situation there. So he's an option. Sure. He's an option, but not one of my favorites. Let's put it that way. All right, Toby, great to be back. That'll wrap up another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip. Any final thoughts? We're almost at the halfway point, July 1st, almost halfway there, Toby.
Yeah, I mean, Dean Kramer may not get the win. Despite
he's not going to, because Baltimore did not score against Robbie Ray.
They did not. Yeah. And Robbie Ray,
he got as many wins as Ross Stripling tonight.
He did. Robbie Ray, amazingly, like for as much crap as he was getting earlier on in the season, is actually
gotten better.
His ERA is down to 3.78 and his WHIP is now 1.14. So, you know, he's kind of putting it together a little bit. But yeah, no, it's nice to be back. It's good to see you, Bubba. Excited for this part of the season. I love this part of the season. I love the closeout of the season. Keep up the good work.
Yep, should be a lot of fun. We'll be back with you guys next week. As always, keep grinding. Like I said, halfway point, almost to the All-Star break. People are moving on to football. So get ready to make some fun, fab weeks ahead and win some leagues. Make sure you check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BDAntrick. This was your Week 13 Fab Recap. And we'll be back to you guys next week with another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip. Catch y'all later.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.